What happened to my child? She became a teenager and something radically happened. We're going to talk about that today on Parenting Today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. Help! I have a teenager! I think that's what every parent of a teenager feels like and is screaming out from every fiber of their being.
Well, teens don't fit. One of the challenges we face is we're not sure where they fit in our culture for thousands of years. Teens, once you became a teen in the Jewish culture for thousands of years, 13, you were marriageable. You had your bar mitzvah, you were marriageable. There's some thoughts, and I don't know where they come up with these things, but there are some thoughts that Mary, when she gave birth, was 13 or 14. And so all of a sudden, we have this tween thing.
Yeah.
You're in between being a child and being an adult, and we don't know what to do with you. You don't go to work. And yes, you feel like you ought to work. And a bizarre thing takes place called puberty, which is absolutely hilarious. Nobody talks about puberty. Right. And all, you know, when I was in elementary school, my voice worked fine. And then all of a sudden I'm in sixth, seventh, eighth grade. I'm an elementary school boy. I'm trying to be cool and I lose control of my voice and nothing's working right. And I don't know. I'm your dad's age. So I don't know what it was like for you, but I remember realizing all of a sudden I'm going to middle school and we're going in a locker room and we're taking off our clothes in front of other people.
Awkward.
Oh yeah. How many towels can I wrap around my body on the way to the shower? I look like the mummy going down the hall. There was and the coolest guy in the whole school put a shower over his shoulder. No problems. I think we're not sure. And this thing called puberty, no one sits down with us. And our parents are a little reluctant to talk to us about what's going on with our bodies and our lives. And it's not like there's a support group.
Right.
And it's not puberty like anybody. Yeah. There's nobody walking down the hall at school saying, hey, how's your puberty going anyway? I mean, you're all stuck in this thing. And so what am I? And my parents are awkward. And if you're a little girl, your dad's a little awkward now. And everybody's awkward. And so I think it's a tough time because we innately treat our children differently. And we also believe what their mouths are saying. Their mouths are saying, I don't want to walk next to you in the mall. Your mouths are saying, oh, could you park down the street when you pick me up? And in reality, no, I love you and I'm proud to be a part of you. And I never did that. I never parked down the street. And I was proud. Whether you're proud that I'm your dad, I'm proud that I'm your dad. And watching it and slowly us getting past all the awkward and doing things together. And when my teen acted like he or she wanted to be alone, I gave him some alone time, but I also continued to pull him back into the Pictionary game because I learned something that people don't get to learn. And I learned it at Sheridan House. At Sheridan House, we have homes for children. We have five homes for children. And these are children that need to be out of their homes due to behavior. Behavioral challenges. And so I watch us as these middle school boys or these middle school girls get home from school. And if you walk in the house, you can smell in any one of the houses. It smells awesome because it smells like cookies because the house moms have cookies and milk waiting for those kids as they get off the bus.
Wow.
And you think if you were to tour and say, really, they get it. You watch them. Okay, I don't have to be cool anymore. I'm not in school. I can just walk in and I'm a child again. This is a safe place. My family is a safe place. And so I think we need to decide that this doesn't have to be a scary time. It's a little different time, but it doesn't have to be scary.
But you referred to even back in the Jewish culture, but even just the difference between your generation and mine, there are many differences. Wouldn't you think of teenage years? I mean, there's this perpetual state of adolescence sometimes for those in my generation.
Yeah.
And it almost seems to be seeping into the next generation too, where we want kids to be kids so long that they end up being kids for a lot longer than we even want to. And I mean, how different is that? You're comparing 100 years ago. I'm comparing just 20 years ago.
Well, I'm not 100 years old, but yes.
That's not what I was referring to.
You alluded to that for a second there. But I think we're not sure, and we let them we let them be their own trainers at that point. We almost emancipate them without a plan rather than emancipate them with a plan. Yes, some people enable irresponsibility and have no expectations of the teenager becoming more and more responsible. But there's a second side to that. We don't do the training, but we don't do the relationship either. What we do is we let them go almost and turn them over to Facebook and turn them over to tweeting and twittering and all these other itterings. And if we're not careful, we don't still remain as an intact family emancipating through training our kids. And so, yes, I agree with you. I think we've emancipated yet another generation of terribly, incredibly irresponsible people who have remained adolescent in their development in areas of responsibility on into their 30s and have to regroup at 30. But I think at the same time, today's teenager feels very isolated and alone. I mean, it shouldn't surprise us that the suicide rate is up for the teen because I don't have anybody and I'm getting slammed on Facebook and I don't even know who actually likes me. Does anybody love me for me? And it's very difficult today. I think it's even a little more difficult for the American female child, but it's very difficult because I don't fit. I don't have a definable purpose in life. I'm not helping you more with the farm. And yet I can be. I can be accepting more responsibility, but I'll never come to you and say, you know, I'm 15. I've thought about it during my prayer time, Mom. I think I should have some more responsibility in the house. It's not a matter of putting it on me. It's a matter of letting me know I expect this of you. This is what it means to be 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It doesn't mean you just get more privileges of freedom. You have more responsibility.
Do you think it's that then that's the big difference? There used to be a plan and there's no plan anymore. And the plan was implied sort of many years ago because there was so much to do family-wise.
I think you said it better than I did, actually. The plan was implied. I like that. We own the farm. I got stuff we all need to pitch in. Right. There weren't the conveniences. There wasn't the transportation. There weren't the T's.
Twitter? Transportation?
Well, I think transportation was the first T that kind of said we can drop them off instead of have us all here. And we didn't use transportation for us. It came at us. I think telecommunication was the second one, but the third one was really technology, and it's kind of divided us up as a family of individuals. I think we have to sit down and we have to say, yes, there's a lot more outside influence coming into my child. We don't come home and slam the door anymore. It comes in through technology. And we have to decide that we are family. There's another issue here, I think, that's hugely lost and can be made up. Extended family was investing big in the past. Extended family is enormous. Even if I'm not getting along with my dad right now, there's grandparents and uncles all around. I did an amazing funeral this weekend. It's been a long time since I've done a funeral where over 1,000 showed up. And it was a funeral of a lady who was very active in her church, Connie Hammack, but also very active in the school board. She was a guidance counselor for Broward County Schools, but also she was kind of the coordinator for family within her extended family. And it was a situation where three rows in this very large church were needed for family, extended family. And I soon realized people who believed they were extended family.
Right.
And it was a two-hour funeral of people talking about that this family, and a couple of kids who were kind of drawn into this family who really didn't have family. We don't have that anymore, but we do if we want it. And I think Jesus anticipated this in the creation of the church, of the bride of Christ. When my daughter, Tori, got married, there were 710 or 12 at the wedding. And there were 710 or 12 at the wedding because she grew up in the same church all her life and had that many people who were, you know, Uncle Tom and Aunt Sally and Uncle Fred. And I mean, there were that many people who we long went past Mr. Evans and moved on to Uncle Tom. Right. And so we have that opportunity. But for today's teen, we have to not let go more. We have to think more because they're very isolated and alone.
And do you think maybe even the consumeristic mentality where I'll go where I'm fed, I'll go where I get my needs met, but you end up cutting ties around you in your lifestyle, even moving away to a new city or something, that sort of starts to limit your immediate community, your family, where you can have that that group of people that pour in, not just to your life, but into your children's life.
Well, in the family, that's another one of the T's called the transfer, where we go for we will take a move to another city simply for a pay raise. That money is it more than family and extended family. When I came to work at Sheridan House, my dad, who was a pagan, was talking to me about Sheridan House and why would I go there and blah, blah, blah. And I said, and by the way, the chairman of the board, Dad, that interviewed me for the job was Joe Sippel, and he worked for IBM. My dad was a leader in IBM, and he works for IBM. And my dad said, I think I know that name. And we were talking a couple weeks later, and he said, I do know that name. That's the guy we can't figure out. He's been in Miami all these years with IBM. We've offered him so many transfers and promotions, he's turned them down. And he's kind of ruined his career climb. We're done with him as far as he is where he is, and he seems to be satisfied with it. And my dad, you know, alluded to the fact that who would be satisfied with that?
Right.
And it was interesting to me talking with Mr. Sippel sometime after that about my dad, and he was smiling. He understood my dad, extremely driven, and it was all about career path. And Joe said, Mr. Sippel said, well, I know that they don't understand me. I'm good here because my family's awesome here, and we love our church, and my family's grown up here, and I'm not going to yank my children when they're in high school. When they go off to college, I will go back to IBM when the last one's out the door and maybe talk through some things. But community is more important to me than career.
But that's not common to hear that. I mean,
no, that's why he raised a great family.
Yeah. I mean, because sometimes we think, okay, my teen can understand if I pull them out, changing schools, even going to the other side of the county. But that does affect, I mean, sometimes you have to, but that does affect the teenager and any child for that matter.
Sometimes you have no options, but when you have options, it's real important to attempt, and this is hard for some reason, to realize when you were in middle school, what would that have done to you? When I was in middle school, when I was finishing middle school and going into high school, my mom died of cancer, and my dad was in the home office of in Manhattan with IBM, and Mr. Watson asked him, "Where would you like to go to put your life back together?" My dad needed this, but this was 11th grade finishing 10th grade, halfway into 10th grade, and my dad said, "I'd like to go home to Washington D.C." Mm-hmm. So he uprooted the whole family, my brother and I, and my dad, and the three of us moved back to Washington D.C. Steve in the middle of middle school, me in the middle of high school, and we both went down the tubes. We both had some very serious issues. My brother ending up in military school the rest of his life, it seems like. And because it was too hard to start over, my mom died. My dad was gasping for air. And so the community of moms around us wrapped around me and the school. I understood the school. In fact, I was president of my junior high. That different from that point on. I barely got out of high school.
Wow.
In the battle to find me.
So there's hope for the rest of all the teenagers out there, huh?
There's hope for what? That I barely get out of.
You made it in life and you barely made it out of high school.
Well, I made it in life for two reasons. I made it in life because I met a girl who wouldn't go out with me and she led me to Christ. And then 4.5 years later, after me proposing every 6 months, finally married me. I don't
good
know.
Girl.
What, yes, well, yes, she did. She did hold me at arm's length for a long time, but it was Christ. And yes, all things do work together for good. Mm-hmm. That did help mold me into what I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And did draw me towards Christ. I think we need to know that today's teen does not necessarily have to be the most disastrous part of our world, and that we just need to think differently. We need to give them more freedom, but they need more family. They need a lot of touch. They need to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to not back away when they say, "Can I just have some privacy, please?" Yes, you can have some privacy, but the whole family's playing Pictionary tonight after dinner. Oh, Dad, yes, that's what we're doing. You know what it is. It's Thursday night, and I need to then, as the parent, be wacko fun, but I need to know they desperately need relationship with us, and they'll get over it. They'll be fine, and they'll relish and love family. Somebody heard me giving a talk once. The high school years were the greatest years of my life, my kids' high school years. And they asked me, how could that possibly be? And I said, because we continued to draw them in during the middle school years. Teenage years don't have to be miserable, but you do have to work at it.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and all the resources available there, you can find that online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries, shfm.org. If you want to hear this broadcast again, share it with a friend, another parent of a teen, or read the corresponding blog and sign up for that to get that in your email box every day. You can find that at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow for more on this topic of help, I have a teenager, here on Parenting Today.